Riding you down our fall drive. Contribute now, 877-500-5266, or you can contribute online at kboo.fm. Or if you are super uber handy with your smartphone and you got the app and you're like, oh my God, I don't have time for dialing, I don't have time for turning on my computer, I'm just gonna go on my app and I'm just gonna tap the donate button. Boom, easy. KBOO loves you. KBOO doesn't waste your time. So give us a call. Once again, 877-500-5266.
At the time of John Coltrane's death in the summer of 1967, he had revolutionized jazz with his innovative, demanding techniques, his depth, and his relentless devotion to his music. He was only 40 years old. Now, nearly 50 years later, he is one of the most dominant influences on post-1960 jazz and has inspired an entire generation of jazz musicians. This Friday, September 23rd, would have been the 90th birthday of John Coltrane, and at KBOO we are going to celebrate with an all-night marathon, including John Coltrane thank you gifts for those who call in to join KBOO before midnight. So join us this Friday night, September 23rd, beginning at 10 p.m. until 6 a.m. as we celebrate the 90th birthday of John Coltrane here on KBOO Portland.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Lair Hill Bistro, located at 2823 Southwest 1st Avenue, a family-owned eatery serving home-cooked food just outside downtown Portland. Lunch was provided by Fatou's Kitchen, a restaurant located on 3601 Northeast MLK, serving Afro-Caribbean, Afro-Latin, African food, and also soul food. Dinner was provided by Namaste Indian Cuisine, whose locally owned and operated restaurants, including the location at 1403 Northeast Widler Street, offers a buffet menu with vegetarian and gluten-free options from 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. every day. Becoming a member is easy when you call 877-500-5266 today to support KBOO.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Friday, September 23rd, 2016. On this, our News and Public Affairs Day here at KBOO. Remember to support your community radio station by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Jenka Soderberg, and now news headlines. The family of Keith Scott, who was shot and killed by Charlotte police on Tuesday evening, has released video of the incident taken by his wife, Rakia. The video released is a cell phone video that does not show the shooting itself. Charlotte, North Carolina police have refused to allow the public to see body cam or dash cam footage, but they allowed Scott's family to privately view their footage. The killing of Keith Scott sparked protests in downtown Charlotte for the past three evenings. In Oklahoma, less than a week after an unarmed black man was shot dead by a white police officer on a Tulsa street, prosecutors have charged the officer with first-degree manslaughter. Officials say they hope the charge against the officer will prevent unrest in the city. In Oregon police news, in the city of Eugene, the district attorney has said that officers were justified in their use of force against Edgar Rodriguez. The announcement came one day after Rodriguez filed a tort claim signaling his intent to sue the city and the county. Rodriguez was shot six times by officers while in his apartment on September 10th. In more local news, the trial of right-wing vigilante Ammon Bundy continues in a Portland courthouse, with the judge threatening to hold Bundy's lawyer in contempt. The judge told Bundy's lawyer that if he continues to defy her instructions and ask the witnesses unlawful questions, she will hold him in contempt of court. That's it for the KBOO News at Noon. Tune in every weekday at 5 for more local, national, and international news produced by volunteers right here in our Portland studios.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, and we are in the midst of our News and Public Affairs Day on KBOO. Coming up Next, Dave Mazza speaks with consumer advocate and activist Wendell Potter about his new book, Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. And stay tuned at 1, we'll hear climate and 350.org activist Bill McKibben from a recent speech in the Northwest. Let's go now to Dave Mazza.
Wendell Potter had a 20-year career as a corporate public relations officer when he resigned as vice president of communications for health insurance giant Cigna to advocate for meaningful health care reform. His book Deadly Spin warned how corporate spin is distorting our democracy. His latest book, Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It, co-authored with Nick Penniman, picks up the trail to expose how legalized corruption is pushing our democracy closer to oligarchy every day. I'm Dave Mazza, and we welcome Wendell Potter this morning to KBOO to talk about his book and what we can do about this sad state of affairs. Good morning, Wendell.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us this morning. To me, concerns about the corrosive effects of money is nothing new. And in fact, according to your book, it's the roots run pretty deep, don't they?
They do. As you noted, the first part of the book kind of gives a history of how we got here, how we got to the point where money being spent by a few billionaires and very deep-pocketed corporations and other special interests, and how they preserve a status quo that's profitable to them but often disadvantageous to the rest of us. But yes, it's something that that we've seen also in our country's past. We will look back in the book to the era of Teddy Roosevelt, to the Gilded Age, when corporations were increasing their power, their political clout, and pretty much having their way. And it took a leader like Teddy Roosevelt to bust up some of the big trusts that had been created and undo much that had been done to make life really pretty miserable for regular folks while the rich were getting richer. So we've been down this path before. We've done course corrections, and we can do it again.
Of course, now we have things like, as you call it, the influence industry. I mean, it seems that we've reached a new magnitude, haven't we, in terms of this corruption?
We have, which means that the things that we need to do to address these problems have to be multifaceted. There are many things that we must do. There's no one silver bullet, no one single person who can step in and fix things. But you're exactly right. We have, in Washington in particular, but also in the state capitals, an influence industry that has developed over the past several years to the point that it is one of the biggest employers in Washington, D.C., and is the big employers in the states as well, too. And also, we've seen that in over the past several years, it's become exceedingly lucrative for members of Congress and members of their staff to serve for a few years and then take an offer from a lobbying firm or a corporation because the money is so much higher. We wrote about one particular member of Congress who left and he was making a salary of about $180,000, and the next day he was making $2 million after joining a big lobbying organization.
I was just thinking about, there's a quote, I believe it's from Tom Harker in your book. It's even affected, for example, the tradition of the Senate dining room, hasn't it?
It has. And I was a reporter in Washington several years ago, and I've seen such an incredible difference. And I can remember going to the Senate dining room. It was sometimes off limits to regular folks, but it was a place where members of the Senate would gather, and you would see members from both parties sitting, getting well acquainted with each other, working in a collegial atmosphere. That's gone. We don't see that anymore. That's something that regrettably has been lost, and is one of the reasons why I think that the public opinion of Congress is so low. We see that it seems like almost any problem is intractable these days, that nothing can get done in Washington because of the hyper-partisanship that has developed. And money has driven a lot of that, unfortunately.
I think you start off in your book talking, for example, about how this has resulted in the banking industry reaching the point it has today.
Well, that's right, because we all, most of us at least, remember the Great Recession and the near collapse of our economy and the role that the big financial institutions played in that. They essentially caused the Great Recession and led us to the brink of disaster. But the way the reform legislation was drafted, it was drafted largely with the help of lobbyists for the big banks. And we've seen as a consequence that the banks have thrived. They're now bigger than ever before. Yes, there have been some meaningful reforms that have been enacted, but they haven't been punitive at all to the industry. And looking back, there's been only one employee of a bank, and not even a top executive, who's been convicted and jailed. It's just absurd. They truly are able to get away with just about anything, even influencing the legislation that is supposedly put in place to keep this from happening again. You know, the sad part is that the legislation was so watered down, so changed, that we absolutely are at risk for having the same kind of near meltdown as we had a few years ago.
It's important to point out that this has been a bipartisan effort to bring us to this state of affairs with banking, hasn't it?
Well, it absolutely has, and we make that point throughout the book, that this is not just the fault of any one political party. Republicans and Democrats alike are on the take. And the big special interests have a strategy of making sure that they're very bipartisan in their giving and their influencing. And I know this from my years in the corporate world. I was heading corporate communications for one of the largest health insurance companies until I left after a crisis of conscience in 2008. And one of my responsibilities, one of the things that my staff did, was to manage the political action committee giving. Depending on the election cycle, depending on the way the political winds were blowing, we would disperse money to Democrats more on one election cycle, Republicans the next. We would certainly throw money at members of Congress who were chairing committees in particular. So if Democrats are controlling both the House and the Senate, you'll see that the money flows to, you know, members of that party more than the Republicans, and certainly to the people who are chairing the committees that are important to any given industry.
Was the Democratic Party's joining in on this, was that a relatively new thing? I mean, I think of Bill Clinton, but before that, were we seeing that same sort of involvement of sort of paving the way for the banks to get their way?
Well, the banks have been influential over many decades, and they had this ability to influence lawmakers on both sides of the political aisle. But over time, big business began favoring the Republicans, largely because of the affinity that Republican lawmakers have had to business and their belief that regulations in general are not good for business. So there was this inclination for banks and other businesses to favor Republicans historically. And it got to the point that during the Clinton administration, took a look and decided, well, maybe we need to be behaving more like the Republicans. And so they started currying the favor of big businesses every bit as much as the Republicans. We had an organization that developed around that time called I think it was the Democratic Leadership Coalition or something like that. And also the Blue Dog Democrats that emerged as very influential in the Democratic Party to work very closely with big business. And it worked to the point that the Democratic Party began getting just about as much money, if not more, from business interest and wealthy individuals as the Republican Party did.
Unfortunately, it's not just banking, Wendell, that this corrosive effect has taken place. I think one of the most chilling areas of the book for me was, of course, all the areas of food and drugs and what's happening there. For example, the whole sugar thing and corn syrup and how that, you know, invaded our lives in very detrimental ways.
Oh, absolutely. We looked at five different industries for the middle part of the book because we wanted to help connect the dots for people to understand the consequences on our daily lives of all of this spending by big special interests to influence elections and public policy. And certainly the food and beverage industry is one in particular that has been incredibly successful in influencing public policy. When I say that, I'm not talking about just legislation, I'm talking about regulation. And I'm talking about the ability of these special interests to really set the agenda and control the actions of organizations or agencies like the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, and the Food and Drug Administration. They've been able to do this very successfully to the point that sugar barons, the term that we use, there are a handful of very large, in many cases, privately owned corporations that control the sugar business in this country. And they've been exceedingly successful at both the state and the federal level in setting the agenda and getting their way and blocking regulation that might hopefully reduce the consumption of foods and beverages that are really harmful to our health. We have an obesity epidemic, and we have incidence of diabetes increasingly dramatically in this country. And it can be traced to the increased consumption of sugary foods and beverages. But our public officials have largely been unable to really address it significantly with any kind of new regulation because of the power of the sugar barons and agribusiness and others that want to protect their profit margins.
And that's not just a case, is it, of them effectively lobbying the lawmakers? I mean, they unroll a whole, you know, public relations campaigns around these things, don't they? I mean, I'm thinking of like Bloomberg's effort recently to restrict the size of sugary drinks in New York City.
Absolutely. In fact, these special interests spend great sums of money in both public relations and advertising campaigns to influence public opinion, to affect how we think, act, and vote, as well as more directly spending money to influence elections and public policy through lobbying. My first book was called Deadly Spin, An Insurance Company Insider Speaks Out on How Corporate PR is Killing Healthcare and Deceiving Americans, and it was an account of my nearly 20 years inside the health insurance industry and the role that I played in putting together these kinds of propaganda campaigns to influence public opinion. It's done day in and day out, and most of us are completely oblivious to how this is done. But it's done to, once again, influence how we think and how we vote, so that, and in many cases, we vote against our own best interests. They're that successful. These propaganda campaigns are so successful. They're based on a lot of research in terms of messaging. And in other words, a lot of money is spent to test words and phrases to see which ones have the most emotional wallop. And that's very important because they know that you can use emotion-laden words and phrases to get people to think and act in certain ways. At the core of a lot of these campaigns is fear. They're fear-based campaigns. They want to generate fear. They want to get us to be afraid of any changes that might be proposed that would put any of those profits that these corporations make in jeopardy.
If you're just tuning in, you're missing a wonderful conversation here. This is Dave Mazza, and I'm speaking this morning with Wendell Potter, who, along with Nick Penniman, have written Nation on the Take: How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. A book, by the way, that's going to be available to those of you calling in during our membership drive. And we're going to turn over to Membership Central right now so you can learn more about that.
That is right, Dave. Thank you so much. You're listening to the KBOO Portland Membership Drive. Give us a call here at 877-500-5266 to make your contribution. Where else are you going to hear about sugar barons? Where else are you going to hear about the very few corporations that create hysteria around health issues that distract from sugar's harmful, insidious effects on our communities? Even now, the poor people of KBOO are succumbing to the effects of donuts. It is running
so
rampant.
Delicious.
And it has us.
I've been manipulated. I know. This is what Kane is pointing out. I've been manipulated.
It's an addiction. We're all addicted to sugar. And, you know, there are a lot of people profiting from it. And you are learning about that right now because this community is thriving. And it's thriving because of you. And not all of you. I know that not all of you are contributing. And you can be. And I know that you can be. So please do what's possible for yourself. Donate $5 a month, $10 a month. Something that seems
reasonable.
Like a reasonable amount of money, right? You probably we live in capitalism, right? You're throwing away money left and right. Mm-hmm. So what, you might as well just dump
on sugar. You're throwing it away on sugar.
Sugar, right now, you are eating something that's just laden with sugar that is just making you reliant on all these corporations. And you're just funneling money towards them. Why not take some power and initiative and give us some money so we can keep providing this programming to you and keep your mind open? 877-500-5266. That's KBOO.FM if you're online. If you're using our app, you're amazing. You already know it because it's right in front of your face. Just tap on that.
If you can give $5 a month, guess what? Your $5 can turn into $10 because right now from 12 to 1, just during this hour, people need to call in because we have a match. Thank goodness. Thank you to the anonymous donor who has made a $300 pledge in matches. So if you call in right now and you can just give $5 a month, which is only $60 a year, but $5 a month, that'll be double to $10. So your $60 pledge will turn into $120, and it's because of the generous donation of an anonymous donor. So take advantage of that by calling right now, 877-500-5266. This is a donor who also believes in news and public affairs day. They believe in the power of radio here at KBOO. So 877-500-5266. This isn't all day. This is just right now from until 1 o'clock, so we only got 40 more minutes left on this match. So take advantage of that. Give online, kboo.fm. Do the app. Just give us a call. I don't think you say the phone number enough because we have people ready to take your call. 877-500-5266. You know, one thing we often say here is, you know what, how much do you make an hour? You know, even $5 a month.
You don't want to answer that.
Well, you know, can maybe making more or less than the rest, and maybe he's giving us, he can do like $5,000 an hour. And if you can, but what we ask is, what do you make an hour? And I bet you could give that just once a month. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. And now back to a really interesting discussion about Nation on the Take.
Back to you, Dave.
Well, we're back. This is Dave Mazza speaking with Wendell Potter about his book, Nation on the Take. We were just talking about, of course, Big Sugar, the sugar barons, what they're doing, but the other part of the food and drug safety question here is, of course, the drug. Big Pharma has profited enormously from this system that allows them to pretty much buy the regulations they want, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. To the point that drug corporations are the most profitable of any industry. It's just incredible what they get away with and how much money they make and how they have been so successful. We were talking earlier about how they influence public opinion. They spend a lot of money to get us to think and believe things that just simply are not true about, for example, how the research and development of drugs, they want us to believe that they need to charge us as much as they do so that they can keep creating, inventing new medications, when in reality, much, if not most, of the research for any given drug, any new drug, is done at taxpayer expense. They're done by colleges that are supported by taxpayer dollars or by institutions of the government, the federal government in particular, that do the research. And these drug companies come along and they eventually purchase the rights to be able to further develop them. So, yes, they do spend money on developing and marketing drugs, but most of what they spend in this area is not in research and development, but in sales and marketing. In this country, we have no national means of regulating drug prices like every other developed country does in one way or another. So we have essentially said that the free market should work as the free market supposedly does, but what we have seen in healthcare is that it doesn't really work in the same way that it does in the rest of the economy. There's very limited competition. The incumbent big corporations are able to call the shot, whether it's talking about any new legislation that might be enacted or any new regulations. We write about, for example, how the Medicare prescription drug benefit was crafted back in 2003. The pharmaceutical industry teamed up with the insurance industry to write the legislation in ways that would allow them to profiteer. And it's happened. Both of those industries make enormous profits off of the Medicare Part D benefit simply because those two industries were allowed to essentially write the legislation.
One of the things I find fascinating, of course, is that the tentacles of this, of course, spill over into all sorts of other areas. For example, the opening up of advertising on television for the drug companies. I mean, we used to have some sort of restrictions on what sort of things could be advertised. Now it seems to be they've managed to blow through that. So we're seeing every day we're inundated with ads for various drugs or drugs that help enhance other drugs.
It's true. And it might surprise some people to know that we are one of only two countries in the world that allows this kind of advertising, TV advertising in particular, the other being New Zealand, the small country that's about the size of Connecticut in terms of population. They advertise, they spend probably as much, if not more, than any other industry, on TV advertising, and that has certainly fueled the demand for drugs, high-priced brand-name drugs, unnecessarily.
I think maybe it's come to the public attention now because of all the scandals with the for-profit schools, but in general, I don't think most people think of education as being an area where corporations have had a lot of undue influence, but that's clearly not true, is it?
Oh, absolutely not true. In fact, if you look, Nick and I could have written our book to be two or three times as big as it was by looking at every special interest, every corporation. Certainly the education system, one of the areas that we talk quite a bit about, and I've written some about it, is the increasing cost of education, why that is, and why our students who are graduating from college these days are saddled with such high student loans that burden them for years and years. And it's all because of greed when you get right down to it. A lot of money is spent to enable special interests to continue a very profitable status quo.
I'm under the impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the higher education institution, including sometimes our public institutions like universities, seem all too willing to play ball in this arena, don't they?
Oh, that's exactly right, because they benefit from playing ball. And it's similar in the health insurance business, which I came out of. In this country, just as we have public universities and private universities, in a similar way, we have nonprofit health insurance companies and big for-profit health insurance corporations. The for-profits have come to dominate the landscape, and because of their dominance, they kind of set the rules, and the nonprofits have to do business pretty much exactly the same way as the for-profits do. And they benefit from that, quite frankly.
I feel like we're bringing our listeners along this trail of sorrow here as we go from area to area to area, but it's hard to turn away from any one of these areas because of the impact is so widespread. I mean, defense, our trade policies. I mean, what other areas is this sort of corrosive effect touching in our lives?
We look at the chemical industry. It may surprise people to realize that of the 80,000 or so chemicals that are used in products that we use or consume on a daily basis, just a handful are even tested, much less regulated. We're constantly being exposed to toxic chemicals in the environment because the chemical industry and its allies have been so successful in making sure that a lot of the things that they use to make what they make are not even tested. And we write about the times when many of us are made very sick and often die as a result of the things that are unregulated, untested in our everyday products. We also look at the fossil fuel industry and how they, too, have been able to pretty much get what they want out of lawmakers at the state and federal levels and the consequences to our environment. We might wonder why it's so hard for public officials to really address and do anything about climate change. But when you really look at it, it is because of all the money that is being spent by fossil fuel companies to protect the status quo. It's obviously very short-sighted. These companies want to make as much money in the near term as they possibly can and to preserve a status quo that, once again, is very profitable for them as long as possible and not really care about the long-term consequences to the planet.
To get back to something I wanted to raise as we're talking about this is that, of course, that I think everybody tends to think of Congress, but this battle is really taking place on various levels. I mean, these corporations are not just spending money to influence congressmen. They're working in our state houses and even at local levels, aren't they?
Oh, they absolutely are. And at the local level, a good example is the beverage industry. A lot of municipalities have tried to pass measures that would reduce the consumption of sugary beverages because of the consequences of that kind of consumption, the increase in health care costs as a result of people getting more obese and less healthy as a result. But the beverage industry has been able to counter and defeat just about every attempt that any city in this country has made to pass a tax on sugary beverage, for example. The only places that have been successful so far have been Berkeley, California, and Philadelphia, where I live. Philadelphia was done through the city council And I would hope that maybe other cities can look at what Philadelphia has done, although the beverage industry is trying to challenge what council did here in Philadelphia. The industry doesn't really care that much at all about the health and well-being of the population. They couldn't care less about how much cities and states and the country now has to spend because of their deteriorating health status. As long as they're able to protect profits, who cares? And so they spent great amounts of money on PR campaigns and advertising campaigns whenever a tax on sugar beverages has been proposed in any given city. Once again, these are fear-based campaigns that often are very successful. They inundate the airways. They recruit the mom-and-pop shops in any given city to be their allies. And it's been, for them, a very winning combination with only a few defeats.
Don't they also employ trying to get into place state laws that basically forbid local jurisdictions to pass some sorts of regulations? It has to be done at a state level? And
yeah, that's a common tactic increasingly in a number of areas in which these special interests are able to persuade legislators at the state level to pass laws like you've just mentioned that tie the hands of municipalities. It's insidious.
That was the word coming to my mind, especially because it's attacking democracy at its very roots. I mean, I think we all like to think that that's how our democracy really operates, is starting at that grassroots level and moving up.
That's exactly right. And we see this especially, I would say, in red states, but certainly not exclusively, in which special interests are able to persuade let's say conservative lawmakers, not necessarily just conservative lawmakers, but primarily. So, and we've seen this in social areas, social legislation regulations, as in North Carolina, in which the state of North Carolina passed a legislation like this that restricted the ability of Charlotte and other cities from enacting their own policies as it pertains to how transgender and LGBT people are treated. So it extends across the board in not just areas that affect the economy, but how we as citizens are treated by local governments.
We're going to take a slight pause here. If you're just tuning in, this is Dave Mazin. I'm speaking with Wendell Potter about his new book, co-authored with Nick Penniman, called Nation on the Take: How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. And that's going to be, by the way, a book that will be available for those of you who are participating in our membership drive. And you're going to learn a little bit more about that right now.
Well, you're listening to KBOO Portland during our fall membership drive. And go ahead, give us a call. Get that phone number right away, 877-500-5266. I'm Jenna. I'm joined here with Kanan. Kanan, what do we got going on for people who call in right now?
So if you call in and you've been enjoying this interview, it's really fascinating. It's not something you're going to hear on any other radio station in town or anywhere else for that matter, because we grew this at home in our community. And if you call in, you can get this book that's being talked about right now, Nation on the Take by Wendell Potter, who you're hearing interviewed, and also Nick Penniman. $75 minimum pledge, right?
Yeah, and that only like comes out to $6.25 a month when you break that down into like monthly giving. That's like nothing. That's less than minimum wage. That's probably way less than I spend on, as we were talking about in our last switch break, the corrupt sugar that is just eating away at me that I'm totally buying into. Capitalist system. Boo, help me fight the capitalist system by calling 877-500-5266. And, you know, and they were just talking about grassroots. And so let's talk about that. KBOO, we are grassroots. We are funded mainly by our members. So, you know, when you're listening to KBOO, it's literally the members who are making it possible that interviews like this can happen, that we can bring these kind of voices here to Portland. And what's really exciting is right now, just for the next half hour until 1 o'clock, we have an anonymous donor who has made a generous offer to match the next $300 in donations. That's just until 1 o'clock. That's what we got left. That's I can't even do the math. That's like 26 minutes left or so. So you can double impact of your gift. So if you can get that $625 a month, that'll be doubled. And you know, so 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Or you can give online at kboo.fm. And if you are looking to give right now, you can also, for $15 a month, if you can give a little bit more, we still have the Fight the Fascist Power Pack for those who can get $15 a month, which comes in at $180 a year. Not too much. It includes four books, which has The Making of Donald Trump by David K. Johnson, Limousine Liberal, which you heard that interview earlier today, Lies Incorporated by Ari Rabin-Havat, and A Necessary Trouble, Americans in Revolt by Sarah Jaffe. So give us a call, 877-500-5266, and take advantage of the matching period that we are in just for the next few minutes.
And if you've been enjoying KBOO for all of this morning and into the afternoon, you've been listening to some topics dealing with race, and we have some books to help nourish you and help you make you feel more aware and more, I guess, solidarity with other people in discontent and
just
disbelief
help with your wokeness.
And rage and wokeness about what's going on. We have a book here that's called White Rage, The Unspoken Truth of Our Racial Divide by Carol Anderson. I hear really great things about that book. And we also have another book called We Gonna Be All Right by Jeff Chang, who you heard interviewed if you were listening about an hour ago, Notes on Race and Segregation. So if you call us right now at 877-500-5266 and renew your membership, or you pledge for $5 a month, that's all it takes, you can take home one of these books. That's all it takes.
And then if you give online, we have, just for people who are handy and useful at that, online at kboo.fm, you can get a free song download for any membership level that people give. You give a dollar, you can give $1 million, and you can get a free song download of the song The Love by hip-hop artist Jason Chu from his latest album, written by him and Joe Kai. Thank you very much to them for donating that. They believe in community radio, so should you. You know, when we're talking about all about big money and how it influences our democracy, it's, you know, one thing that they're pointing out in this book is that there's no part of our lives that aren't touched by big money. We'd like to always blame the banks and Wall Street and all this stuff, but we're just talking about food, we're just talking about everything, you know, books, just your media. And so when you listen to KBOO, we want you to recognize where the big money ain't. Not here at KBOO necessarily being funded by big money. What we are funded by are lots of little individual memberships by your individual people calling in, joining the KBOO community radio family, because you believe in the type of programming that we're bringing you here today on PAA News Day here on KBOO. So give us a call at 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266.
We're back. This is Dave Mazza. I'm speaking this morning with Wendell Potter about his new book, co-authored with Nick Penniman, called Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. Well, Wendell, now that we have thoroughly depressed our listeners with the sad state of affairs, I want to go to the third part of this book. And one of the things I liked about this book was the fact that it was kind of like a three-act play. And at the third act starts talking very specifically about, what do we do about this?
That's right.
So what do we do about this, Wendell?
Yeah, we truly are optimistic. It's not just some device to leave people in a hopeful note. It is fixable. It absolutely is, and it must be. It will require our citizens to get engaged, to get informed, and to really get engaged, to make our public officials more accountable. But it can be done, and it doesn't require a constitutional amendment. A lot of attention has been focused on the consequences of the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision back in 2010. Yes, that was indeed a decision that has unleashed the floodgates of a lot of money into the political system, but it is not the only thing that needs to be addressed by any stretch of the imagination. And there is a lot that can be done at all levels of government, and we're seeing that, and that's one of the reasons for the optimism. We're seeing that it's already taking place in cities and states across the country. We mentioned in the book Tallahassee, Florida, the state capital, a relatively small to mid-sized city, that there was quite a bit of corruption in local government, that both people on the left and the right found just unacceptable and deplorable. And a coalition was formed that comprised Tea Party members and liberals who came to figure out and realize they could work together to try to clean up local government. And they did. They were able to push through a measure to do exactly that. So that's also another reason for our optimism. We tend to think that because of this ideological divide that we have in this country, that nothing will ever be able to be accomplished again. But on this very fundamental issue of money in politics, we're seeing that that's not at all the case. And I think it is also, I think we can look to see the proof of that in the people who are supporting and have supported in this election season, both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. A lot of the people who supported both of those candidates said that they support the candidates they do because of their feeling that the system is rigged against them. And they are absolutely right. And we can take advantage of this disgust of what has happened to our political system and see more coalitions forming like was formed in Tallahassee. And we're seeing near you up in Seattle, voters passed a measure that it will make it possible for citizens to have greater control over the financing of campaigns. In New York, New York City is a city that can serve as a model for cities and states around the country as well, too. A few years ago in New York City, members of council passed a measure that makes it possible for someone who donates, say, $50 to a given local candidate. There is a fund, taxpayer finance fund, that's available to increase the value of that by sixfold. So a $50 contribution essentially becomes a $350 contribution. And what that means is that candidates no longer have to go to only the wealthiest in the city for their campaign contributions. They have a much broader base of contributors. So the city is no longer really controlled by people who live on the Upper East Side and the Upper West Side, the wealthiest parts of the city. And you can talk to members of council and in both parties in New York, and they will tell you what a positive difference this has made, how they govern the city and how they approach their elections there. So it is happening across the country, from Tallahassee to New York City to Seattle and places in between. And we're seeing, too, that it is possible to curtail the influence of lobbyists, for example. The state of South Carolina is one that has passed legislation some years ago that makes it unlawful for lobbyists to make contributions directly to candidates who are running for the state legislature. It needs more teeth, but it can serve also as a model for other states. So those are just a couple of things that already are happening. We propose other fixes. The Federal Election Commission is essentially powerless or toothless right now. It was created back during the Watergate era as a way to monitor the election system. It was created with three Republican and three Democratic members. As we've seen a more hyper-partisan atmosphere in Washington, it's become impossible for the FEC to act on anything that comes before it. So that the composition of the FEC needs to change so that it is not always votes ending up in a 3-3 tie that means no enforcement action. We also believe that there should be a longer period of time before a member of Congress can go work as a lobbyist. When I was a reporter in Washington, it was relatively rare for a member of Congress to become a lobbyist after he or she left office. Now 50% of members of Congress stay in Washington or become lobbyists in their state capitals, but most of them stay in Washington and become part of the influence peddling machine up there.
Our Congress has become an on-the-job training to be a lobbyist, apparently.
Oh, absolutely. And it has become much more lucrative, again, for members of Congress and their staffs to jump ship and go to work several blocks away from the Capitol, downtown Washington, where most of the lobbying shops are located. They make a lot of money, a lot of money.
We are going to take another little pause. Again, this is Dave Mazza. I'm speaking this morning with Wendell Potter about his new book, co-authored with Nick Penniman, called Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. And the good news, folks, is we're talking about what we can do about it part right now, which is much more uplifting. But we're going to go to our membership drive central here, and they're going to tell you also about how, by becoming a member or renewing your membership, you may be able to get a copy of this wonderful book.
Thanks, Dave. I'll tell you what else you can do. You can dial 877-500-5266. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is our fall membership drive. It's winding down. And you can take home the book that's being talked about right now, Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. And now we're talking about the what you can do about it part. Give us a call. Give money to a grassroots organization that is helping spread the word, spread non-corporatized messages, messages that are coming straight from your community that aren't being filtered through corporations.
Well, and you know who appreciates it is Roberta calling from Rainier. She just called in with a gift membership for Sylvia, who is in Southeast. So welcome, Sylvia! Sylvia, you have awesome friends. Thank you. Say thank you to your friend Roberta for giving her a gift membership. You know, so that's something we also need to point out is that even if you are a member, you can always get a gift membership because who doesn't like to start, you know, their holiday shopping early? Or maybe you're just like, I really like my friend. You know what I want them? I want them to have a vehicle, to have a voice, to be part of their community, be part of grassroots activism. So once again, we're going to give a little woohoo. And also we have David, who's, I think he's from Vancouver, Washington. What's up in the coop? Yeah, Washington. Thank you very much for joining us and joining the KBOO family. You know, because as we're talking about all this stuff of what to do, that's one thing I really love about KBOO is like, yes, we bring you all the books that, and all the authors and all the voices that are pointing out all the corruption that are in our society and all the things that we're constantly trying to fight against as a grassroots organization. But we also tell you what you can do about it. And so here we are. We're helping, enabling you right now. This is a gift we're given to you, enabling you to become part of your community about getting active. And right now we can't forget that right now we are in a matching period right now until 1 o'clock. So we only have 15 more minutes because an anonymous donor has generously decided to offer the next $300 in matches that are donated during this hour, but just during this hour on News and Public Affairs Day. So if you can donate, say $5 a month, $6 a month, whatever you can give, it will be doubled. So give us a call at 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. And as Kane was talking about, we got all the great thank you gifts. If you want to take advantage of that, we got Nation on the Take, the book you're hearing about right now. We have, for the limited edition t-shirt that we have for this drive only, designed by local API artist Anna Vo. And you want it because it's got an alien on it.
Yeah, I have a proposal for you. So how about you give us a call at 877-500-5266. You can pledge whatever feels comfortable. How about, let's say, for example, $6.25. That will get you a copy of Nation on the Take, right? $6.25 a month, plus that cumulative amount of $75 is going to be doubled.
Doubled to 150.
Times two multiplier.
So help us meet that goal along with the anonymous donor that we got. They believe in community radio. You know you do too. Give us a call, 877-500-5266.
Okay, we're back. This is Dave Mazza speaking with Wendell Potter about his new book, Nation on the Take. One of the things I wanted to pick up on in this last bit of conversation was in your book, you also talk about in terms of building this broader reform movement. And as you said, we can be reaching out to all sorts of parties, but we have to be very mindful actually how we start defining what we're trying to accomplish, because oftentimes we're picking up terms like campaign finance reform, which can be very loaded terms and create those barriers to building new alliances, as opposed to getting to the core of the matter, which is it's money and politics we oppose, which everybody opposes.
Well, that's exactly right. And I'll go back to something I said earlier, and that when I was working for big corporations, we didn't send out a press release or issue any talking points, really, until we had thoroughly tested the words and phrases we were going to be using, because they matter so much. And terms like public financing can have a negative connotation for a lot of folks. There are terms that resonate with people of all political stripes that are much more effective, like one that we often use is citizen funding of campaigns. And that's exactly what we're talking about. It's essentially giving people more control, once again, over who becomes their elected representatives, rather than just cede the control to those who are the wealthiest in our communities or our society. So it's exceedingly important to be mindful of the language we use so that we're not turning some people off when there is such common support, such wide base support for reform.
Besides taking on the structure of our our elections and of our office holders. What other areas do you see us needing to really move heavily towards in order to turn this thing around, to move it, pull us back from the brink of oligarchy?
Nothing will change unless we as citizens come to understand that this is not hopeless and that it requires us to get engaged. And I'm hoping that we can see a resurgence of civic involvement. That's one of the things that I'm going to continue to work toward, is to help people understand the urgency of fixing the problems pertaining to big money and politics, to help people understand the consequences of it, to help continue to connect the dots for people, and to hopefully help figure out ways to get people motivated. There are a lot of groups and organizations around the country at the state and local level that are working on this. People just need to become more aware of them and join those efforts and really get involved. Even though most Americans will say, you know, public opinion polls consistently show that 80% or more of Americans are concerned about money and politics and want something to be done. Often, though, it's not their top issue. It's not, maybe their top issue is climate change or health care. But people need to understand that until we address money and politics in Axum Solutions, that we're not going to make progress on the issues that are most important to them, whether it's climate change or health care, whatever it might be.
But, and I agree with you, but I guess the thing I'm puzzled about is that, well, let's take Portland, for example, where people in general would be, yes, money and politics, terrible influence. The developers are having too much control. And we even then passed publicly financed elections. There were some problems with it, not major problems, I don't think. But it immediately got picked up by people across the spectrum about, here it goes. This shows that public financing of elections doesn't work. And, you know, this wasn't just the corporation speaking. It was, you know, everyday people who seem to be so cynical now about our system. How do we bridge that cynicism?
I don't know that there's a big answer, but it is to get more people engaged in the process. I suspect that a lot of people who are complaining might not have had a real role in it to begin with. I don't know that. But it really needs to have broad-based support from the beginning, like in Tallahassee. And also the understanding that no one has a silver bullet, no one has figured out what is perfect, but there are some places around the country that could be looked at as models for action where it really has made a positive difference and has broad-based public support.
Let's take a moment here to talk about those models, but first I'm going to remind folks that you're listening to KBOO. I'm Dave Mazza, and I'm speaking this morning with Wendell Potter, who, along with Nick Penniman, have produced a new book called Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. Great book, very, very, just packed full of great information, as well as some really good ways to how we get out of this mess. So you're going to learn more about this as we turn over to our Membership Drive Central, and they'll tell you how, by becoming a member, renewing your membership, you can get a copy of this book.
Thanks, Dave. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Kanan, and this is the fall membership drive. We are relying on all of y'all to support KBOO and help become part of that resurgence of civic involvement against corporate money. Here we're listening to
Nation on the Take. Right now, they're talking to the author, Wendell Potter, for Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy. And, you know, so what they're talking about in this book is obviously how big money really affects how our government works, who gets to make the decisions, what decisions are affecting our every single day. I mean, it's ridiculous how you can buy our democracy. So, you know, they were just talking about what you can do. And one thing you can do is to support your local grassroots organizations, which, guess what? Lucky you, you're listening to one right now. So give us a call at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And right now we are just, it's already just a few more minutes left in the show. And just during those few more minutes, we have an anonymous donor that has pledged to match up to $300 just until 1 o'clock, though. So call right now and take advantage of that. Anything that is pledged right now will be doubled. 877-500-5266. And, you know, we're looking at the numbers we got going on, and we realized all we really need is, I want to talk to a specific somebody out there, and I know you're listening, somebody who is able to donate $25 a month. If somebody could donate $25 a month, that comes out to around $300 a year. That's not too much. I know for some people that are listening, I know for many people that's like, I can't do that right now. But for somebody out there who is doing a little bit better right now and they know that they could support community radio on that level, give us a call right now so that and take advantage of that match, because that $300 will be matched making your donation into $600, which would help us meet our goal this hour. So 877-500-5266.
Right. And you know, this period is ending in 7 minutes, so there's a very limited amount of time where you can make this kind of impact. $25 a month, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this is not going to amount to very much, but it is going to amount to a lot for us here at KBOO. We don't really have much at our disposal in terms of finances, and a pledge of $25 a month from one individual would make a huge difference to us. You know, we're talking about money in politics and how this is like one of the linchpin issues, one of the key issues we need to address before we can make other substantive changes. By contributing to KBOO right now, you're actively disrupting the cash flow to corporations and corporate agendas. And like, you know, we keep talking about corporations. Like, what are corporations? They're just like conglomerates of people who have become so blinded by the pursuit of profit that they lose their moral compass.
People who are hiding being people by becoming corporate people. It's crazy. It's crazy.
You know, it's not even their fault. We live in a world where that is rewarded.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the system that everyone's kind of embroiled themselves into. And so one of the ways you can get yourselves out of it, or to show that you're not part of it, is to support local grassroots organizations like KBOO, you know. And I mean, this is the kind of program that KBOO wants to bring you. When you're tuning in, especially today on News and Public Affairs Day, like, really think about all the different interviews that are brought to you in 1 week on KBOO. I mean, it's not just little fluff pieces, you know. It's not just headline news. It's bringing you people who have solutions, people who are willing to talk about the things that they aren't willing to talk about on the other radio stations, because, oh my God, we might actually get something done in our democracy. So call in now, 877-500-5266. Take advantage of the matching. That's just 5 more minutes. We got 5 more minutes. Thank you to our anonymous donor who's making that possible.
Yeah, disrupt apathy. Refuse inaction.
Exactly.
Please give us a call.
$25 a month, you can do it. Whoever's out there, you know you're out there. You can do it.
And we'll give back. We'll give back. We'll give you Nation on the Take, the book that's being discussed right now. Wendell Potter and Nick Penniman.
Exactly. You know, and we also have, we have the Fight the Fascist Power Pack. That's still my favorite, like, gift that we have. You've had so many great gifts over this. Oh, we got Sam. Sam, what's up?
Well, I am sorry to announce that the package deal of those books, while each one is available on its own, or you can get any number of them that you wish, the package deal on those we're no longer able to offer. That was a limited time deal, but you can still get all those books.
You still can fight fascism.
You just have to ask for them one at a
time. Yes.
Wow, that's how many people want to fight the fascist power. Thank you. Thank you very much to all of your contributors.
You're literally lining up to fight fascism, and, you know, that's amazing. And at no other radio station are you going to see that active of you know, action to combat fascism that we're seeing.
Or that you're not even, if you turn into other radio stations, you know, and they're doing their little pledge breaks and whatever, you know, you don't hear them willing to have one of their gifts called Fight the Fascist Power Pack. I think that's what I love about KBOO. You know, we're willing to speak the truth. We're willing to say, like, hey, look, this is what's happening. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're going to say there is fascism that is rising here in the United States, and that it takes everybody's voice to fight it. And so, you know, help show what you believe in by becoming a member of KBOO today. 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. We make it so easy. We promise if you call in, it only takes a couple minutes. We got volunteers ready to take your call. Go online, only takes a couple minutes. Or do the app, just push the button. Even if you're even lazier, just push the button. Donate. Simple stuff. So, you know, we're in the matching. 3 more minutes. Take advantage of that. 877-500-5266. And yeah, don't forget, you can get that book, Fight the Power.
Back to you, Dave.
All right, thank you. We're back now. Again, this is Dave Mazza talking with Wendell Potter about his new book, Nation on the Take, and how we're How we can we pull ourselves back from the brink of oligarchy? Well, in the last, you know, 3 or 4 minutes we've got here, Wendell, we talked a little bit about how we're getting people involved, and let's pick that up again. And where else do we run with this ball?
I hope the news media too can help us out here. The media hasn't done nearly a good enough job in terms of its watchdog responsibility. We often hear about the politicians who are on the take, and one of the things I think is very important is to focus attention on the entities that are causing the corruption, the entities that are writing the checks. And that was why we wrote the book as we did, to focus on industry and showing people where this influence is coming from and how it affects their daily lives. That's a really essential for people to really understand this is not just something that's annoying. It's not something that really would horrify our founding fathers. It affects our daily lives in so many ways. And I think the media needs to play a better role. I'm going to continue to do that in ways that I have the ability to do. But I also hope that organizations like the League of Women Voters and others that are really concerned about the direction of our country and can approach this in somewhat of a nonpartisan way can really reach people in communities all across this country. It's vitally important.
Are you finding that these messages resonate more with some sections of our communities than others? I don't know how much outreach has been done, say, for example, to communities of color around these issues? How much has there been an effort to nurture and support efforts within communities of color to take this issue on?
It's a very, very good point. I don't think that we've seen nearly enough of that. I don't think people of color, or anyone for that matter, but I don't think there's been a concerted effort to reach communities of color with this message and how it's important. On the flip side of that, I have seen, and we write some about how special interests are able to use organizations that have been around for quite a long time and that are highly regarded to, quite frankly, preserve a profitable status quo. You know, an example is how much money the beverage industry donates to the NAACP. There's very little awareness of that and the fact that the NAACP usually stays on the sidelines or opposes measures to impose a tax on sugary beverages. So there is a lack of understanding and also a real lack of, I think, a focus of reaching communities of color and others to understand what's really going on and what the consequences are.
Do you think the environmental justice movement that's, I think, very strong in communities of color, in fact, I think it was born in communities of color who were bearing the brunt from the chemical industry and what have you. Are they kind of moving in on this area? Are they embracing some of the things you're talking about? Is that already out there in their agenda?
We are beginning to see that, which is very encouraging and so very important because their battles day in and day out are the organizations, the institutions that are funding the other side and the